I don't know about you, but seeing the Pope on television and then hearing an American accent still seems quite surreal. I feel like we're watching a movie rather than the real thing. On Thursday of this week at noon, we were in the middle of our dear departed friend Jim Filoki's funeral mass when Maria Rao, our parish secretary, marched in front of the lady altar right across from me during the prayer of the faithful with a thumbs up and mouthed, "White smoke." So. And you know, I couldn't help myself. After mass, I took Kathy aside and I said, "Well, Jim's already performed his first miracle. He done gone and got us a pope, right?" Imagine my surprise to find out that both Jim and Papa Prevost are both Chicago boys, so maybe from heaven one day they can settle who is better, the Cubs or the Sox. It seems fitting then that in the ordinary form, the first Lord's Day of this new Petrine ministry is Good Shepherd Sunday. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. The Lord has entrusted his flock until he comes back in glory to the Pope of Rome, the universal shepherd, in communion with the bishops, the pastors, and all of the faithful of the Catholic Church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, but he gives his vicarious authority in the visible realm with spiritual and temporal power. Remember, people forget that the Pope is still also a head of state, Vatican City. He gives that to Peter and to his successors. As Catholic Christians, we do not believe that the Pope is just merely the first among equals, or that Catholicism is just one among many equal paths to God. His authority is real, even if it is not absolute, because it is always and everywhere subject to divine revelation. Now, you've heard me many times speak about the limits of papal and ecclesiastical authority and all of the various levels of assent required of the Catholic faithful. Remember, it's not all the same. And you have heard me speak also about the danger of seeing everything, or anything, to be honest with you, in the life of the church through the prism of American politics. You know, I still can't believe that we have an American pope. I thought that was absolutely and utterly impossible. But, you know, God's ways are not mine, and thank God for that, right? But my greatest fear, you know, O me of little faith, is that the tendency to see everything that Pope Leo does through that prism is going to be even greater. Already the prophets of doom and the grifters who monetize anger for lucrative and sordid gain are serving the devil's purposes to disunite the believers. In the age of AI, this risk is exponentially magnified. Do not be deceived. But Peter speaks. And we need to open our hearts and our intellects to listen. Much of his teaching will be theological and spiritual in nature. He might have new insights on that old-time religion, and that's wonderful. Don't be surprised if the Pope reiterates the Church's perennial teaching on faith and morals. And also don't be surprised if the Pope warmly and lovingly embraces even those who struggle with some of that teaching. Some popes meddle in politics, and others don't. Remember the distinctions between dogma on the one hand and policies on the other, and that we are called to listen, engage, and discern in a spirit of obedience when all of those things come to the fore. And we also have to remember that some issues are not in and of themselves political issues, but human rights issues. And because they are human rights issues, they are also Christian issues. And those issues intersect politics and embroil the church in struggles with temporal powers in often messy ways. It is going to be a very interesting time to be an American Catholic. And this side of heaven, there is always going to be a struggle of some sort or another between private political opinions and how we let the gospel share and shape our lives. So just keep all of this in mind, okay? And let us love one another through all of it. In his homily, In Love with the Church, St. José María Escrivá, whose relics are actually found on the wall next to the Adoration Chapel, he preached, "Love for the Roman Pontiff must be in us a delightful passion, for in him we see Christ. If we talk and listen to our Lord in prayer, we will go forward with a clear gaze that will permit us to perceive the action of the Holy Spirit. Even when faced with events we do not understand or which produce suffering or sorrow. The Catholic Church is Roman." I savor that word, Roman. "I feel completely Roman, since Roman means universal, Catholic, for it leads me to love tenderly the Pope." From this Catholic Roman center, Paul VI emphasized, "No one is, in theory, beyond reach. All can and should be reached. For the Catholic Church, no one is a stranger. No one is excluded. No one is to consider himself far away. I venerate with all my strength the Rome of Peter and Paul, bathed in the blood of martyrs, the center from which so many have set out to propagate throughout the world the saving word of Christ. To be Roman does not entail any manifestation of provincialism, but it presupposes the desire to enlarge the heart, to open it to all men with the redemptive zeal of Christ, who seeks all men and takes in all men, for he has loved all men first." St. Ambrose wrote a few words which comprise, as it were, a song of joy. "Where Peter is, there is the church. And where the church is, not death, but eternal life reigns. For where Peter and the church are, there Christ is, and he is salvation, the only way." In this Jubilee Year of Hope, the Lord is confirming the faith of his people through the election of a new Roman pontiff. And so, as an obedient and dutiful priest, I'm going to let Pope Leo XIV have the last word, today at least, from the homily he gave in the Sistine Chapel on the day after his election. There are many settings in which the Christian faith is considered absurd, meant for the weak and unintelligent. Settings where other securities are preferred, like technology, money, success, power, or pleasure. These are contexts where it is not easy to preach the gospel and bear witness to its truth, where believers are mocked, opposed, despised, or at best tolerated and pitied. Yet precisely for this reason, they are the places where our missionary outreach is desperately needed. A lack of faith is often tragically accompanied by the loss of meaning in life, the neglect of mercy, appalling violations of human dignity, the crisis of the family, and so many other wounds that afflict our society. Today, too, there are many settings in which Jesus, although appreciated as a man, is reduced to a kind of charismatic leader or Superman. This is true not only among non-believers, but also among many baptized Christians, who thus end up living at this level in a state of practical atheism. This is the world that has been entrusted to us, a world in which, as Pope Francis taught us so many times, we are called to bear witness to our joyful faith in Jesus the Savior. Therefore, it is essential that we too repeat with Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."